Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
And Rattray about to release the ribbons at the top of the straight, and Diva's Delight bounded 4, 5, 6 metres in front. Down the outside is Gambler's Rustler whacking away, but a very comfortable win. Diva's Delight.
Now on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Co-development manager for harness racing in Tasmania, Kev Nielsen, joins us today on Taz Racing Talk. And as we welcome you, Kev, you'd be absolutely delighted with the big night in Launceston last Saturday.
Yeah, thanks for the welcome, Shane. And it's rare that you can come away from a function and say, I don't know how we could have done that better. But it was a magnificent night. Great credit to everyone involved. The participants who accepted the awards, the presenter who was first class, being yourself, of course.
Sensational, I thought. First class, I suppose that's good enough. Continue.
I thought it was okay. The sponsors and everyone involved at Taz Racing who put the night together. It was a genuine all-round industry effort to make the night go off as well as it did.
Yeah, it certainly was, and seemed to be well received by the sellout crowd that was there. And as the awards were given out, the respect that the crowd gave the recipients, as they duly deserved, was top class. And it was certainly well received throughout the night. So I think it was a tremendous night, and congratulations to all. Now, what about the horse awards?
Well, I think most of them were clear-cut, and we'll start off with the two-year-old Filly of the Year award. That was always going to be won by Forzia. She had 5 starts for 4 wins and a second, and she did win the 2 big ones, the Vickers Final and the Big Park Stud two-year-old Filly sweepstakes. One of the two controversial ones was always going to be the two-year-old colt or gelding. It was always going to be a battle between Jerry's Jet and Boss and Hagen, and Jerry just got over the line. And you could not begrudge him the win. 6 starts for 5 wins and a second. And he won the Big Park Stud Sweepstakes final. He was second in the Vickers final after sitting outside Boss and Hagen. And he won 2 other 2-year-old features as well, but Boss and Hagen was unlucky. In the 3-year-old Filly of the Year award, Barinha. Again, that was probably the biggest laydown mazare we've ever seen, Shane, that Barinha would be the Tasmanian 3-year-old Filly of the Year. And no doubt she will figure highly in the Harness Racing Australia 3-year-old Filly of the Year award. And I think that's due to be announced tomorrow. 15 starts, 10 wins, and they included the Victorian Oaks and the Tasmanian Oaks and a Vic Bred Super Series semi-final, a second in the Breeders' Crown, and also a very unlucky fifth in the Vic Bred Super Size final. Second award that was always going to be close on Saturday night was the Corporate Communications Tasmanian 3-year-old Colt or Gelding of the Year between Resurgent Spirit and Chopsticks Boris. Again, a very close contest throughout. Resurgent Spirit just got there. 6 wins from his 13 starts. He won the 3-year-old championship, which is a second-level feature race. He was the first Tasmanian home in the Derby when he was third in the $30,000 SCW Eurodrive Tasmanian Derby. And then again, as I said before, Chopsticks Boris, unlucky, but then again, Resurgent Spirit may have been if he lost it as well. Tasmanian Horse Transport, Tasmanian Mirror of the Year award went to later on. Unanimous decision again by the judges, all 11. 26 starts for 4 wins, and the wins included a win at Albion Park, in fact, making 2 up there. And also the Maxfield Drilling Golden Mile and the Shirley Martin Mother of Pearl. She had a great year later on. Well, if the Barinha was a dollar to win one award, I reckon Bowtie was 99 cents in regard to the Tasmanian 4-year-old and older horse of the year. And he obviously took that title out, being Taz bred and Taz owned. 14 starts, 12 wins in the second, of course, the 2 big ones, the Miracle Mile and the Inter Dominion. The mare of the year was the mother of Bowtie, being Gorse Bush. And, of course, the Tasmanian Horse of the Year, again, a $1 bet was Bowtie on the back of his phenomenal season.
Now, it's pretty obvious that the national audience has really had their imagination captured by Bowtie, and it's put a little bit of a focus to the breeding industry. And what was very evident on Saturday night was the influence that Tasmanian-based sires have had in standard breed racing over the years.
Shane, I've only done the figures today to work out how many siring titles have been directly traced back to Tasmanian breeders. And out of the last 84 years, 42 of them have. Now, we've got a leg up and a half with Edgar Tatlow. And, of course, Edgar's the icon in Australian harness racing, particularly the breeding side of things. And his sires were the leading sires in Australia. He was standing them at Hagley Lodge. It was Derby Lodge at Hagley up until 1947 before he moved to Victoria. And from 1930 to 1956, Globe Derby, Raider and Springfield Globe won 27 in a row. And then shortly afterwards, Arthur Barker imported the champion, New Zealand, the Champer, to Tasmania to stand at La Mana Junction, just near Deloraine. He won 7 national titles. Tatlow was at it again in from 70 to 73 with Meadow Vance and Arkin to win 4 national titles. And just to top it off, Terry Peake in the late 80s, early 90s imported Tirado Hanover, and he won 4. Amazing record. 42 out of the last 84 national siring titles belong to Edgar Tatlow, Arthur Barker, and also Terry Peake, all Tasmanians.
Yeah, quite incredible, and also a close connection to a number of Inter-Dominion winners.
Yeah, well, I'm just doing the figures on it too, Shane. We've got 78 years of Inter-Dominions now. I don't know whether they missed out any during the war years, but first one was 1936, and of course, in fact, make it 79 years, and Bowtie, of course, had won the last one in 2014. There's been 8 Tasmanian winners. And seeing we have around 3 or 4% of the total foal crop from Australasia being New Zealand and the other parts of Australia, to win over 10% of those Inter-Dominion finals with about 3 or 4% of the foal crop from Tasmania, astonishing. And the ones that were recognised there on Saturday night were Vickers in 1936, Springfield Globe in 39, who was bred by Edgar Tatlow but bought by New South Wales interests when the horse was yearling and raced for those interests throughout his career. Logan Darby won in 1940. Now, Bandbox wasn't recognised there in 1947, but again, it's probably a good bet that she will be sometime in the next 2 or 3 years. Champer Star was in 1966. Stanley Rio was bred in Tasmania. He's a 1977 winner. And, of course, one that was recognised there on Saturday night was Thorate for 1990. And, again, it's probably a fair bet that in the next few years, a horse called Bow Tide will go into the Hall of Fame as the 8th Tasmanian Inter-Dominion winner.
Yeah, there'll be a fair chance of that, that's for sure. Now, what about the 3 stars that became household names in the 60s? Champer Star, Hal Wes and Golden Alley all on and on Saturday night.
Yeah, that was a special moment when the 3 of them came up there, and to have the trainer and regular driver of Champer Star being Stan Leadham to receive the induction was terrific. And we had Harry Hazelwood's son in Rodney to accept it for Golden Alley, a winner of 50 of 85 starts. And it was Keith Wesley, the son of Orb Wesley, who accepted the one for Hal Wes. And, of course, Hal Wes, the Miracle Mile winner in 1968, and he was desperately unlucky not to get the Inter-Dominion that year, winner of 3 heats in New Zealand, scratched from the final because of a hoof injury. So he could well have done a bow tie. It certainly was a special part of the night, and so too was the appearance of the Tatlow family, being Edgar's daughter Joan and 2 of the grandchildren, Ian, came up to accept the inductions for Edgar, being 4 of them for himself, for Eyre, Globe Derby, and just at the moment, I can't think of the other one, Shane, but there were 4 in total for Edgar Tatlow, and also the great-granddaughters were there as well. And I know Ian said afterwards, as far as the great-granddaughters were concerned, it was a great learning experience for them to realise the impact that Edgar's had not only in Tasmania but nationally with his size and his vision for harness racing.
And former stars of the Sulky, Jack Stanford, Lynn Moriarty, and Graham Peck was there to accept the award. It was great to see Graham back.
Yeah, it's great to see Graham. But Graham won 5 titles and was a very good driver. He left the game prematurely. I think he had a bit of an argument with the stewards one day at Ulverston and said, well, that's it, in his early 40s, and he stuck to his word. It was great to see him back there, and he was humbled to receive that. And of course, Jack Stanford, 13 titles. That is still the record, and his son Rick, who's now in charge of the Greyhounds at Launceston, was there to receive that induction. And Lynn Moriarty, his grandson Mark Panton, was there to receive Lynn's induction. So, yeah, they were some of the highlights of a terrific night, Shane.
Yeah, talking to Graham after the event, Kevin, I mentioned that I was there that day at Ulverston when he was standing outside the steward's room in what turned out to be his last day in the sulky. He gave me the whole story on Saturday night, so it was very interesting to listen to, and to think that you happened to be walking past him at the time so many years ago, it just was a little bit of a shock to the system. And of course, we had our modern day stars, Neville Webberley, Ricky Duggan, and also Barry Rattray on stage together.
Yeah, they're the 3 of the 4 leaders in regard to winners now. I think Barry leads with around about 1,570 winners. Neville ended up with 1,300 and about 60 odd. And Ricky Duggan has now got about 1,305. Now, Rick's only about 8 behind Darryl Alexander. Darryl got about 1,315 winners, and Darryl, of course, relocated to Queensland in 1982. And he ended up with about 900 winners in Queensland, Darryl, and represented Australia from there and won a couple of Queensland titles. But to see those 3 modern-day champions there was fantastic. And when you look back through the number of winners that people like Jack Stanford and Lynn Moriarty had and Graham Peck, nowhere near what the modern day drivers have got. But Peter Cool explained that by saying that often back in the days in the 60s and earlier, there were two meetings in the one day at different regions of the state. And that was the main reason that the leading drivers were not able to accrue the tallies that Webley, Barry Rattray and also Ricky Duggan have accrued. And also Gareth Rattray is rapidly closing in on 1,000 winners at the age of 29. So that's why they've got a lot more winners than their predecessors.
Now, the Australian Driving Championship's coming up shortly and the state reps have been announced.
Yes, probably no-brainer again. Gareth Rattray and Ricky Duggan. Harness Racing Australia has asked for the best two from each state. We've got the best two from Tassie, Gareth Rattray and Ricky Duggan. That will take place in Adelaide on Saturday the 18th of October. It's a new initiative by Harness Racing Australia with great support from Harness Racing South Australia to stage the inaugural series. And the winner of that, certainly the standings at the end of that series will be taken into consideration when selecting the driver to represent Australia at the World Driving Championships, which this year will be held in New South Wales. I think it's late February, early March.
And Gareth's back in the car this weekend.
Well, more good news. We think we didn't have enough good news for 1 week. There's more. And I think already he's got about five drives on the 9-race card. I know there'll be a lot of people just waiting to see him back on the track. It's been almost 2 months now, recovering from his recent operation, and I think he's fit and raring to go.
And the horse that he started off driving, Bowtide's back in action this week.
Yes, it just gets better, doesn't it, Shane? Bowtide, Saturday night at Menangle, race 6, number 8. He comes off the back of a trial where he went sub-150. He never won it. He never won the trial, but he went sub-150. And I think James Rattray is very astute with the way he's preparing this champion. And we'll see him back at the track at Menangle on Saturday night.
Well, I promise it's to be another great weekend of harness racing coming up, and a keen eye will be kept on Bowtide's performance. So thanks for your efforts again today, Kev. Congratulations on last Saturday night. We look forward to your company again next week.
Thank you, Shane.
Every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
9 races on the card coming up in Launceston on Sunday night. Looks a great program on paper to tip us all the winners. Jamie Cockshut, how are you, Jamie?
Yeah, real good, Shane.
That's the way. How'd you pull up from the awards night on Saturday?
Yeah, it was a very good night, Shane, to be honest. I pulled up pretty well, mate. I was home bright and early back down Hobart Way by about 12:30, 1 o'clock, mate.
Oh, experienced campaigner. That's what we like to hear. Now, race number 5 is the first leg of the quaddie on Sunday. It's for the COs.
Yeah, it's a good race. We've seen the return of a very smart 2-year-old from a couple of seasons ago now. He's a prospect. He's had a couple of trials. He's won his trials. He's tried okay. So he's going to be very interesting because if he's anywhere near right, he should be through a 2 classic with this lineup. Going to touch tricky in 5, so it'll be interesting to see what young Duncan Donoff does, whether he pushes forward or just looks after him in his first round back. Either way, he can take plenty of beating. Louis Hardin's racing very well. He done all the work last Sunday night at Hobart, sitting in park, and just knocked up late from a close-up 5th. Vincent can go. He's a tough type that likes to get up and put a bit of pressure on, so he's likely to push forward from out 7. You've got Malia Rosa, which is a consistent type, drawing well and can fill a place, and Mykota Casper and Jazzy Jane. Yeah, they're drawn to, filling a minor first four spot. But I'm happy to go 5 pieces prospect on top of it. I don't want people rushing in to take silly odds because just not sure where he's at. From 6, who is Hardin, 7, Victor Kangal, numbers 1, 2 and 9, to fill out 3rd and 4th, mate. Malia Rosa, Mykota Casper and Jazzy Jane.
Now, race number 6 on the card, again for the COs. Stoner Rainbow led last week, but just couldn't hold off Rock Bank Dancer.
No, he did. He was very brave, Stoner Rainbow, leading away. Caught a bit of pressure from Louis Hardin, as we just mentioned. And if you watch the Taz Racing replays, you'll see that he battled away very strongly. But there's a very impressive trio. It just turned 3 off the Oakie from the Retro Camp. It was super impressive. Start leading all the way at Mowbray. Draw the pole, so you can find the lead. You think you can hold out Stoner Rainbow early, I think, and from there you can take a power of beating. But the query round is Metro Digby. As we all know, he's got loads of ability, but his men are letting him down more times than they don't. But he's drawn to follow through Fiocchi, and if Paul Williams can just, get him off the gate, follow through nicely on the back of Fiocchi, get the crack at him, he may be too classy. But in saying that, he will be improved by the run. He looked a bit bigger at the trials the other night. And then you've got Nance and Shrill and God Love Friday. So I'm happy to go 1 for Yoki. Just on spec with the run under his belt, probably be 2 Sniffy for Metro Digby first up. 16 a Rainbow and numbers 2 and 9 for 3rd and 4th, mate. They're just feeling good luck Fridays, but pretty keen on Fiocchi, mate, from the pole.
Race number 7, the C4 to C6. C7 for the mares. Now, your tip is the majority last week. It got the job done. Can it go back-to-back?
Yeah, well, he's going to get his chance from the draw, Shane. He should lead from one, so he's going to get an easy lead. And his main game is drawn to follow him through by Cobb Lees, who was super impressive leading throughout last week at Launceston. But he races best in front by Cobb Lees, so just a little bit of a query. And you've got another Jasper drawn two. He's going to be handy for round. He's very capable with a right run. Siski, who's returned from a lengthy break, got a bit of class and is going to be naturally improved by his first start run a fortnight ago at Launceston. But just from the draw, I'm happy to go to the majority from 8 Rykov leads, 4 Siski and 2 another Jasper move.
Race number 8, final leg, is the discretionary handicap. We've got Diva's Delight flying, as is Riverboat Jasper.
It's going to be a very good clash between these two paces. I don't think there's a lot between them. Well, Dean's Delight's come a huge way in the last 12 months from winning a CO now, after a C9 class and very competitive with a better free for all of us. Riverboat Jasper's had 2 runs back from a spill. Very impressive first up, then just a regulation win last week when he led. He does race better when he's outside the leader because he's a bulldog and he tries to put pay to his rivals on the inside of him. But from the stand start, I'm pretty keen on Davis Delight, to be honest. I think he'll just ping to the lead and he'll make Riverboat Jasper chase him. But not saying Riverboat Jasper can't beat him because he's very talented and very classy. And then you've got Bigger and Better Max, who's very good stand start performer. He's going to ping away and he's going to be right up in behind him. And one of Isaac can fill a place is Beef City Bow. Suited by the trip, pings away, and I'll go straight in the pegs and hopefully, just pinch some runs up the inside and may sneak into a third spot. But I'm keen on Deep Delight, mate, to beat Riverboat Jasper, only because it's from a stand, from 6 being a better max and 5 being Shitty Bay.
Okay, so looks a match in 2 in the last, and Bigger and Better Max is the other danger. So how does that make the quaddy look?
Yeah, pretty thin, actually, Shane. First thing, we'll just go 5 and 6. Second leg, we'll just go 1 and 8. Third leg, 1 and 8. Last leg, 1 and 3. $16 to give us 100% of the dividend, but we're not going to get too rich off that, to be honest.
So I can even afford that myself, $16.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you can afford more than that, mate.
Well, we might go $17 if we're having a good day. Now, what about a couple of best bets and a few other races you like to look at?
Yeah, I really like the Family Guys. In recent weeks, I've been really keen on him a couple of times, and he hasn't let us down. And he's drawn well. He's drawn to push forward. Find the leader, find the breeze, and whatever beats him will win. Just hope he holds up in the market around 220, 230 would be nice odds. Keen on Fiocchi to beat Metro Digby and stay in the rain, just from the draw. But just tread warily, because he could get into ridiculous odds like $1.50, $1.60, and that'll be way under. And Dave's delighted in race 8. I'm really keen on him just from the stand start, because he should pin you the lead, and Rufo Jasper has to be at his best to run him down. Race 2, each way on, Dirty Diesel. He was back first up and he was okay behind the Family Guy, so I'm fair to give him a chance for the pulse. He should be able to do enough to hold up. As long as he's around the $4 mark, he looks a good each way gamble. And as does the majority in race 7, he looks a good gamble as well. There's a couple of ruppies on the night. Race 1, number 8, Cemento Rapido. He's drawn to follow the likely leader, and if he gets a crack at him up the straight, wouldn't surprise me to see him push through and win that race around the $8-$10 mark. And in race 2, Tishu Tudor, way down in class in this race. It's only a couple of South Yos racing C4 currently, but gets into this race with a claim as a C1. So it's a huge drop back in grade, and he'll be going around to $20-$25 in this field, so don't be surprised if he gets home and runs a good race at good high odds. There's a race I'm pretty keen on, race 6. I'm happy to go a trifecta. 1, Fiocchi to beat number 6 and 8, Stoner Rainbow and Metro Digby for 2nd and 3rd. So just play that for as many times as you want. $5 will give you 250%. We just go our first four along the same lines. One to win, 6 and 8 for second and third, 2 and 9 to run fourth, but, you know, $4 will give you 100% of that dividend. And then we'll go along to race 7. Pretty keen on majority Rykov leads, leader behind leader. So we'll just go 1 and 8 to win from 1, 2, 4 and 8 for second and third. Play that as many times. $12 will give you 100% of that dividend. Then you can go a first four on the similar line, saying 1 and 8 to win, 1, 2, 4 and 8 for second and third, from 1, 2, 4, 5, 6 and 8 for fourth. $24 will give you 100% of the dividend, mate.
Well, you've steered our listeners onto plenty of winners there, I'm sure. Your tips have been electric of late, and I'm sure they'll continue to be this Sunday. And if you want to have a look at all Jamie's tips and get the edge on Tassie Racing, just head to tasracing.com.au, and all the hard work will be there for you in black and white. Thanks for your efforts again today, Jamie.
I just wanted to mention too, Shane, it's very good for listeners to click on the Tassie Racing website and look at all the video replays for our harness meetings. It's a very good insight, and you get your head on replays, which is very beneficial for the horses up the straight. When they've been unlucky, you'll get a run. So, listeners should be logging onto that and taking up that service, mate.
Absolutely. It's a great site and plenty of information there across all codes, and in particular, harness racing, and certainly all your tips will be there. So we'll look forward to your company again next week.
No worries, mate. Cheers, mate.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.